Hello, everyone. We are back on the Chicago Football Podcast. I'm Kevin Fishbane, your host. We got a little bit of a new format we're going to bring at you in 2016. We're going to just bring on a guest and just chat, talk Bears, talk football, talk life. And today's guest is going to be Jarrett Payton. Of course, you all know Walter Payton's son, also hosts CLTV Sports Feed. We'll get to him in a few minutes. We'll always recap the top Bears news at the top of the show, recap the interview at the bottom of the show, and talk about anything you guys want to talk about. Remember to follow us on Twitter at Bears_Insider. I'm at K Fishbane. All of our Bears stories at ChicagoFootball.com. Got executive producer Dan Mott here and associate producer John Solly on hand. And a few news and notes. We were at the Combine last week. A lot of fun out there in Indianapolis. I learned, guys, that, you know, we're writing all day, you know, 8:30 to in the morning till 7 at night. I got most of my work done in terms of making contacts, talking to people, probably between the hours of 12:30 in the morning and 2:30 in the morning. Not that that's a complaint. That's just how it works down there. It was a, you know, it's a long days, but very helpful. And, you know, the big news that came out of this week, of course, that Alshon Jeffrey got the franchise tag. Didn't surprise anyone that he got it. And I am actually more convinced now than I was that he's going to get a long-term deal. I think people who saw the injuries might be skeptical, and I understand. But these two sides, they're serious about talking, and they're serious about trying to find a way to get things done. And if you've noticed anything going around the NFL this week, these long-term contracts, 4, 5, 6 years, they don't really mean a whole lot. Mario Williams cut, Charles Johnson cut, Roddy White cut, Marcus Colston cut, Arian Foster gone. I mean, all these guys, they don't finish out their contracts. And, you know, if Jeffrey signs a 5, 6-year deal, it doesn't mean he's going to be here 5, 6 years. It doesn't mean the Bears are going to have to pay him for all those years. So I would keep an eye on that until July 15th, the deadline. Free agency opens March 9th. We'll be all on top of it, ChicagoFootball.com, 3 p.m. that day. We'll see if the Bears sign somebody, maybe a Danny Trevathan, maybe a Janoris Jenkins. I'll have a story up on the site at the end of the week, maybe early next week, kind of top 10 free agents the Bears could sign. We got all tons of stories by position that kind of breaks down some of their options. And, of course, all eyes are going to be on Zach Miller, Martellus Bennett, Tracy Porter. What team does Matt Forte go to? So we'll get a lot of that. And before we bring in Jarrett Payton, bring in my producers here, John and Dan. John Solly's at J Solly. Dan, your Twitter handle's Mott's Thoughts, where we can get your thoughts.
Mott's Thoughts.
On anything Twitter, M-O-T-T-S, Thoughts. So you guys are here, and we're excited for the new format of the show. And, you know, we'll talk to Jarrett in a second, but John, I'll just come to you quickly because I know you're following the Alshon Jeffrey stuff. Any surprise by you that is what the Bears decided to do? And do you care whether or not he gets a long-term deal?
No surprise whatsoever. Given what we heard from Ryan Pace at the Combine and everything that's been going on, I think that it was absolutely no surprise that he was given the franchise tag. And, you know, we'll see how it goes from there.
All right, we're going to talk about that and a lot more fun stuff with my guy, Jarrett Payton, of CLTV Sports Feed, WGN Radio, WGN TV. You can follow him on Twitter at Payton's Son. That CLTV Sports Feed show on Sunday through Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m. He's had me on the show asking me questions. JP, now I get to ask you questions. Isn't that fun?
Uh-oh. I'm actually kind of scared about this one, though, Kev.
You know, Jared, I saw that you ran a 4.6 at the Combine. Is that true?
Yeah, 4.6 there. I think I ran a little bit faster. I think I ran like a 4.5 when I got to my workout in Miami. But you know, over that time, it was funny because coming into Miami, when I was here in Chicago as a young kid, man, I was running in the 4.4s, 4.3s. And once I started putting on a little bit of weight, once I got to college, man, I was around 2.30. So I just wasn't able to really translate that little bit more weight with the speed. But honestly, you know, the game of football, I know you have to be a burner and everybody's looking for burners, but, you know, if you can understand the game and control the game on the ground as a running back, I mean, you'll be all right. My dad wasn't the fastest, so that's why I was like, man, as long as you can play and help out, the more you can do, the more valuable you can be to a team.
It must have been that soccer speed of yours when you were in high school that gave you some of those top times.
I was only like 100 and 85 pounds back then, so I was a burner. I actually did run a 4.3. I don't know if it's documented anywhere, but it was electric time at Northwestern for their combine that they had at Northwestern, which was my junior year, if I'm not mistaken, or going into my senior year. I ran a 4.3 with ASIC gym shoes on.
Wow. Well, one thing back to the soccer. I didn't know, JP, that you were a soccer star until recently, right before one of your shows, and you were regaling all of us with your soccer memories. What would Jarrett Payne, the soccer player, have been like at that 2:30 or whatever you were at Miami? How would that have impacted your abilities on the soccer field? On the pitch, I should say.
It would have been very, very difficult to try to maintain and play the game that I did. I mean, my game was just a lot of speed. I started to get a little bit more technical as the years went on, but it would have been hard to play. But I think I could have played at least around like 205. If I was around there, I still would be okay than I was, and maybe throwing guys around a little bit, but I definitely would have been scoring goals because that's what I was good at.
What was your dad like as a soccer fan? What was his analysis of you as a soccer player? What was that like?
You know what? That's actually a really good question. No one ever has asked me that question. My dad loved the game of soccer, and it's kind of funny when you look at it in the sense of him being the football player, the Hall of Famer, playing the game and loving the game, but he never pushed me once to play football, and he just loved what I loved. And so my dad was probably at more soccer games in high school than he was at football games, and he just loved to watch the game. He loved how everything would kind of like progress and how we, would set plays and everything else. He was just always intrigued, always asking me about the game, wanting to know more about the game. And I just, he loved it. I mean, he loved it. I think actually in his heart, he wished he would have played it. But down south, they didn't play soccer down south. It was only football down there. So he really enjoyed watching me play, and we always had a good time discussing the game of soccer.
Back to the combine, aside from that 4.6, which was way slower than we know you can run, JP, do you have any favorite memories from that week down there in Indianapolis?
It was a weird time because everybody, I guess, you have to ask, I guess, other guys that have been in the combine how they enjoyed it. It was something I was honored to be a part of and honored to be asked to be there, especially, with my season and how I played coming out my senior year. I didn't start the whole entire season. So when Frank Gore went down the West Virginia game, I had a chance to come in and play the rest of the year. And to get invited to the East-West Shrine Bowl and the combine, it was huge for me. And I got there, but it's like it was so much pressure because everybody's staring at you, everybody's watching, and you're always on an audition the entire time. And for me, I think the coolest moment was when I got my room assignment, when I checked in, and I'm walking into my room, and as soon as I open up the door, I'm seeing there's bags already in there. So as I walk in and I look around the corner, there's like a little nice little hallway, and I walk in and all I see is a bag sitting on the floor, and I'm looking at the colors and I'm like, that looks like it's Florida State colors. And I come around and it's PK Sam from Florida State, who we just beat not too long ago, in the Orange Bowl, and earlier earlier in the season, Bill Campbell. And I'm looking at him, I'm like, dude, for real? They put me with a Florida State guy? Are you serious? Like, come on now. And PK and I are pretty good friends to this day, but that was one of those moments where only I get, set up with a Florida State Seminole for the time while I'm at the combine. But we bonded, we talked, and it was a pretty cool experience to get to know more about his team and what goes on in Tallahassee, and to just talk about old stories, about old games that we played.
Man, those rivalries down in Florida run deep between three schools.
It's nothing that I've ever seen before. I mean, I know we talk about some of the best rivalries when you talk about Duke and North Carolina in basketball, but when we look at some of the best players in the country and where they're coming from, over the last 20 years, the state of Florida and Georgia I mean, the players that come out of those states are just unbelievable. I mean, they're athletically just super gifted, and these guys have like all played against each other. Now, me being from the North, I didn't really understand. But when I got there to see these guys who played high school against each other, I mean, it really becomes, you know, wanting to show up, not just for, you know, your school that you're playing for, but also for, you know, your high schools. And like, I saw high school games, Kev, where there was 50,000 people for a high school football game. They filled the Orange Bowl for a high school game. Wow. And I never, ever saw that up north, ever.
Yeah, it's another world out there. It's unbelievable. The and I'm thinking of these SEC and I guess ACC when you talk, of course, Miami and some of these schools and looking at these prospects. And I want to know, who are your guys for the Bears at 11 right now? Who are some of the guys you like for the Bears right there?
I mean, at first, honestly, I mean, I didn't know what was really going on before we got a little bit of a word once the combine went down. But, you know, if there was, you know, knowing about Jalen Smith and watching him being so close to the Chicagoland area, being at Notre Dame, and knowing, watching him saying that, listen, you know, we see guys that have the injuries and come back from, you know, knee injuries like Todd Gurley last year, who kind of just stormed up and took over the NFL in a short period of time. I'm thinking that this could be a guy that is a top five pick that could slide to you 11, but is that something that the Bears want to do, given what happened the last season with Kevin White, another first-round draft pick, having to possibly sit out in the entire year? So I had my focus on him for a long time. I don't. That's not even in my mind anymore. It's like so far gone. But actually, there's one guy that I really – Todd McShay has him again – pegged at number 11 for the Bears, and that's Shaq Lawson. I think he could be a guy that is could be a difference maker. And I think at 11, I don't think you can go wrong with, and you know this, just going defense and looking at defense and what you need in this defense. I think he's a guy that could truly fit. I love his explosiveness, even in that national in the big time game with a sprained MCL, still getting two sacks. And he just shows you what this guy can do and the power and how gifted he is and so good with his hands, which I truly, truly love. I think he can only get better. And I was reading a comment about him saying, where you hear guys coming out of college, they just want to get on a team. Like, they just want to make a squad, or they want to be there to make an impact. But he was talking about he wants to be one of those players that is a Hall of Fame player. Like, those are his aspirations. And to me, that's huge, and you want a guy like that on your squad that could come in and, you know, be an impact. But I don't know. Could you go wrong with trying to for sure up a left tackle spot too as well? I mean, there's so many different options and so many holes that this Bears team needs. I don't know if you can go wrong, but I think you have to agree with Ryan Pace where he says he's going to best available at that spot. I don't think you can go wrong. The Bears can't afford to miss with this 11th pick. I mean, this needs to be a guy that's going to be a namesake and a long-term, investment, and a guy that this organization can count on to be a true difference maker.
Yeah, that's what happens when your team is so bad and you have so many needs that you there are so many options you can go, and it's going to help. And I was with you on Jalen Smith. I mean, and I think all of Bears Nation was hoping that Jalen Smith would be the guy, and then obviously these nerve damage, you're not going to take a chance on that. But when you bring a best player available, and I think you'd have some good insight into this, Jarrett, the running back situation. I've had a couple people tweet at me, I'm sure you've seen this, the Ezekiel Elliott scenario. And this leads into another question about how they replace Matt Forte. And you obviously, you know the position. You know Matt real well. He's obviously second in the record books everywhere to your father. And now they look at the position. And I'm thinking to myself, if the Bears aren't going to pay Matt what he thinks he deserves, why would they spend the 11th pick of the draft on Ezekiel Elliott? But then again, if he's the best player available and he'd be an instant impact to your offense, I mean, they have to get somebody to join Langford and Carey. Where do you stand on the running back situation and how they replace Matt moving forward?
Oh, man. I mean, it's tough when you look at a guy that's been such a big part of your franchise for a long period of time, and Matt Forte over the years has really shown that he can do whatever you need him to do. And I think when you miss that, we'll see that this year, I think. I mean, not to take anything away from Jeremy Langford and how he played in his time as a rookie, but it's still a little bit different. And before the injury with Matt this past season, Matt was having it was on pace to have another just solid year running the football, catching out of the backfield. I think now you have to start figuring out what do you want to do. And so it makes it a little bit more enticing to see a guy like Ezekiel Elliott, who hopefully now is going to change that running back position and put a little more emphasis on how important it is to have a true stud. And I know you don't run them all the time, but you're seeing more and more running backs by committee. But if you can have a guy like Ezekiel Elliott, if he is there at 11, I don't know how you pass up on him, because every game that I watched this past season in college football, Kevin, he was the best football player on the football field. Like he was the best. Like, he does everything. And I said this, I tweeted this. I said, I forgot what game it was. I don't know if it was in the Virginia Tech game early on, where I just said my dad would sit and watch this guy and be super proud of what kind of player he is, because not what he does with the football, it's what he does without the football. The down the field blocking, the set up JT Barrett like he did, or I mean, even in space, people don't understand how hard it is to block people when a target is moving, let alone just coming at you straight off the line and when you're picking up blitzes. But running on the field and have to throw a block, a lot of guys don't even know how to do that. And watching him, he can do everything, and I just love his skills. In the sense of Jeremy Langford and Kadeem Carey, running back by committee, yeah, I don't know. Kadeem Carey still showed me a little bit this season. I don't know if it's enough to say this is going to be a guy, but I like the progression that I saw out of him. He runs the football hard. And Jeremy Langford definitely, I think this coming up year, has to get better at, you know, making those big catches out of the backfield when you need to be able to, you know, put your team in situations to be able to have, you know, a manageable down, especially on third down. He's got to be able to be Mr. Everything. They're going to have the bulk of it on his shoulders. Do you bring in another guy? I mean, do you go out and get a free agent who's out there? I mean, there's nobody that, to me, that's appealing. What, Alfred Morris? Is he out? He's got to be out there. Who else?
There's guys that are out of their range. You know, Doug Martin is going to be too expensive. Aaron Foster's now available today.
Yeah, Arian Foster is great, but I mean, now we're starting to see with the mileage, and I think this is what NFL teams look at, and they see, you know, the mileage that gets put on these running backs, and then it's just so hard to be able to maintain and be healthy and be available, and that's what the NFL is all about. It's about being available all the time. That's what made my dad so good. It made Emmitt Smith, all the backs that play, that were dominant backs that always played, that were always there, that's what made them so appealing. So the position is kind of devalued in a sense when you look at how over the years it's changed and what running backs are asked to do, not carry the bulk. But I'm happy and I'm excited to see what Langford and Carey can do, but I'm just not, if it's not Ezekiel Elliott in that first round, if he's still there, it's hard for me to say that the Bears aren't going to take a running back in this draft and maybe in that fourth round. I mean, I see them taking another running back and then having a stable of three and trying to figure out from there. But you can never have enough. I think, you know, every time I was on a team, I think the most we had were three. And it means one of those guys had to play special teams. So we'll have to see how this all plays itself out. But I think Kadeem Carey and Jeremy Langford have an opportunity to really cement themselves and, you know, be the bell cows for this team. But I think jury's still out because both guys are still young in their careers.
I could always count on you, JP, to defend the sanctity of the running back position and make sure that people forget it.
I have to. I mean, Steven Jackson, what he had a tweet, like a hashtag out, like save the running back or something like that.
Oh, that's nice.
Like a year ago.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I retweeted it and went out and was talking about it. The position is so let's not forget, I know it's a passing league, but the game is still won by controlling the clock and controlling the ball on the ground.
It's how the Broncos won. The Broncos wouldn't have won didn't have C.J. Anderson.
I mean, you have to be able to run the football, and it's a big, big part of an offense, and I think sometimes it gets forgotten because, you know, I think it, but in a way it's been forgotten because you don't have to go out and get, you know, first round guys. And I think that's where we're starting to see, you know, that's why I want Ezekiel Elliott in that first round, because you don't see that often. We're not seeing running backs go in the first round, but let's not forget about how big that position was, like, what, in the 80s?
Right.
I mean, running backs were being taken off the board, but now it's a little bit different. But it's still such a position that is so valued when you talk about being successful, especially on the offense.
And I think if you saw what Todd Gurley did last year, you can also see the reason to take a running back in the first round. But you can also see what Melvin Gordon did last year and make that a reason not to. JP, I'm going to give you what we're going to have in this podcast every week, and you're the first one to do it. It's called the Cutler Six-Pack, okay? This is a lightning round of Jay Cutler questions. Are you ready?
Okay. I'm ready.
Producers, we should probably get music for this down the line. But all right, so Cutler six-pack for Jarrett Payton. Number one, what's your favorite Jay Cutler narrative, or what's your favorite thing the media likes to say about Jay Cutler?
That he's not tough.
There we go.
I love when they say he's not tough, because, I mean, you look at what the guy has done and what he's been through the last, not you look back, what, 3 years ago, and how many shots this guy takes and gets back up. I mean, he's a strong guy, a tough guy, and I have no problem with him, to be honest with you.
I think that's going to be a popular answer. Number two, does anybody on the Bears have better hair than Jay Cutler?
Only person now. Oh, man.
Or it could be in the past.
Well, let's just go for now. I think Zach Miller might have better hair than him.
That's a good call.
I mean, he actually, Miller, puts product in his hair, man. So, I mean, like, he's swaggy. I've seen him dance and stuff. He loves hip-hop. He's a little swaggy, so I'm going to have to say Miller.
All right, Zach Miller, a friend of the program, by the way. He's been on the podcast. Our goal is to get Jay on the podcast and see what he thinks of his Cutler six-pack. Do you have a favorite Jay moment in a game in his career with the Bears?
Career with the Bears has to be, there's so
few.
I'm trying to think of one of the best ones. There's a few. No, there are. There's a couple. I like one that I really like. I think it was this past preseason. You know where he trucked a dude.
Oh, in Indianapolis.
I'm proud of that. As a running back, I love seeing that.
Can the Bears win a Super Bowl with Jay Cutler?
The Bears can win a Super Bowl with Jay Cutler. It all depends on how strong they can build up their defense. I mean, if defensively they can be lights out and they can have a strong defense, I think you can win with Jay Cutler that way. Other than that, asking it to put on his shoulders and, with a bad defense and try to make things happen without having help on the other side, no, I don't think so. But if they could shore up this defense and put them as contenders, yeah. I mean, if he can have the season he had this past year of, like, really being considerate with the football and not turning the ball over, I think so.
All right, two more. What's a better meme, the Smokin' Jay Cutler meme or the Don't Care Jay Cutler urban myth stories?
The Smokin' Jay Cutler. I like that one.
And I think your answer to our last one. If you could go take a time machine to 2009, do you still make the Jay Cutler trade?
I don't know, man.
I guess we don't know what's behind door number two. We don't know how far they actually would have gone with Orton or who they could have drafted.
Yeah.
I mean, they could have gone down a lot of different routes. And Jay got them the NFC Championship game. You can say that as a reason to say you'd still do it. But this is a question for you.
Listen, I guess most people would probably say no. And I think I'll just go out on a limb. I'll just be like, I think I still would.
There you go.
I mean, I still don't know. When you look at it, everybody wants to say, well, Jay Cutler's this, Jay Cutler's that. But look over the time. Who else would you have rather? Would you have rather had somebody else? Even over the last, couple of years where everybody's like, get rid of Cutler, who else is there?
Right.
You know? And it's so difficult. So, yeah, I guess I would keep it on. I mean, he's learned. He's progressed over the time. He's progressed over his time that he's been here. And we started to see the guy that everybody thought was the guy last year who put this team on his back. And if it wasn't for him, they wouldn't have won a lot of some of these games. You know, winning one more game than they did the year before. Yeah, I put it on his shoulders. And Jay Cutler was not the problem last season. So for everybody out there that's upset with him, get over it. He was fun to watch last season. I look forward to seeing him in 2016.
Yeah. All right, that's the Cutler six-pack. You did well, JP. Nicely done.
Thank you very much.
Well, just a few more with Jarrett Payton. Follow him on Twitter, @PaytonSun. If you haven't had Sweetness beer or the coffee, I don't know what's next for you, Jarrett, in the Sweetness brewing line. But you got to go out there and go find it. Just because hearing you talk about Jay Cutler, was it tough for you when, I remember, 2014, you were on the radio a lot when everything was falling apart with the Bears, and your former coach, Mark Trestman, was at the heat of it, and you had to be critical of Mark. You've had to be critical of guys you've played with at Miami or played ball with in the CFL or guys you know well. Was that a tough thing for you to do, making that switch to the media and have to kind of be critical about some guys that you have good relationships with?
Yeah, it really was. It was a tough deal. But you know what? It made me stronger, and I just truly appreciate it because I look back on it as probably one of the best moments in my career of having to deal with that, because Trestman and I are pretty close still to this day. And yeah, I played with a lot of these guys. I knew a lot of these guys, so I didn't want to offend anybody. But then I also had to be true to who I was and true to, my insight on the Bears. And so it was tough. At first I was holding back a little bit, but I started to find a really good balance. And, I think I always had to look at it and say that I want the guys, when if they see me and they hear something I say, read something I say, that I'm not gonna just sugarcoat it. This is what it is. This is how I feel. But I will never disrespect a person. I'll never disrespect a man and be like, oh, this guy's garbage. I'm not going to say that. But I'm going to give you, if you miss a couple tackles for touchdowns, then I'm going to have to talk about it. And I said, the same way that they talk about Cam Newton. Like, Cam Newton's dancing. Well, listen, if you don't want him dancing, then don't let him get in the end zone. Well, if you don't want me talking about you, then, do what you're supposed to do, and I won't have to talk about you. And it's pretty cool to kind of watch how everything is unfolded and now how comfortable I am talking about the Bears.
Yeah, well, it's fun to get your perspective. How did you decide originally this is a path that you wanted to take? Were you just copying your sister, of course, Brittany Payton, Chicago's best? Were you just trying to one up her a little bit? What went into the decision to make the move?
No, it was it just I love sports, and I knew about the Bears, I knew about football, but I really wanted to expand my horizons and learn more about other sports. And it really did. It's made my love for hockey and baseball and basketball grow over the time I have been in the media. So I just enjoyed that. And it was just something that I love to talk. I just love to talk. So anytime you get me behind the camera, behind the mic, it kind of feels like home, and it's a safe place. And it's something that I just want to keep better at and get better at. And I kind of use the same approach I did in football. I'm just trying to keep getting better and better. I'm never going to be a finished product. I can keep adding stuff to my game, my repertoire, and hopefully keep getting better, and hopefully people enjoy what I have to say and my insight.
Well, we like what you do, and we like your show, and it's been fun to see you get all the Chicago sports media folk involved in the show. I can tell you I coach 11-year-old baseball. My kids have watched me on your show, because when I got hired to coach them, they Googled me to see who I was, and your show came up. So they always ask about it. So now that you've had probably every Chicago sports media member on your show, which Chicago sports media member would have the best combine workout?
The best combine workout. I'm going to have to go with Adam John.
Ooh, that's a good one. He stays in good shape, Johnsy.
He played a little football in high school and also in college as well. He just seems like he still could run, you know, a 40. But I'm going to tell you something. If I had to pick a guy to put on my team from the media, it'd definitely be Kevin Fishbane, because that dude is a beast.
Oh, stop it. You're making me blush. But you're also on my show, and I appreciate you being nice, though. I will tell you this, though. 10, 15, 20 years ago, you take Rick Tellender in a second.
Oh, Tellender is, man, I'm telling you, I've had the honor to have him on the show. And
I watched that show. It was a lot of fun watching you two guys tell, you know, hearing him tell stories about what it was like to cover your dad and hearing your reaction. That was really good. That was really interesting. I really enjoyed watching that.
It was amazing to hear those stories and just awesome. And it's just an honor to have him on and talk and giving me his insight of everything that he saw and hanging out at my house before, in a lot of my house before it was built. And he's just one of those guys that, you know, my dad always would talk about and that my dad was close to. So you get a chance to interview, you know, people that were close to my dad and, you know, my dad let in. It's pretty cool. And it's pretty bizarre because now they're looking at me going, I remember, you were walking around in like diapers and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, those are the days.
That was good TV. All right, we'll wrap up here with a little Bears stuff just to finish up the interview here with Jarrett Payton. Remember, follow him on Twitter, @PaytonSun. Sometimes you see some Snapchats of reminding you that you're not, you know, doing your job in the morning and getting your workout in, because JP will one-up you. Are you ready for free agency next week? You're a member of the media now. It's going to be wild next Wednesday. What do you want the Bears to do next Wednesday and Thursday?
Well, I think it's I want them to be smart. I'm all up for, you know, having, you know, some money to spend, and I like that. But kind of the same way that what Ryan Pace said about just, you know, buyers beware and figuring out what's going to be the best. I think you have to make a splash somewhere. The Bears have some money to spend so this off season, so we want to see them to do it. I think they at least bring in one big time free agent. I'm not sure who that is. Is that Malik Jackson? From the Broncos. I mean, to see what he did in the Super Bowl, I saw it live. It's pretty impressive to see what he's done. I really like him. I know that name has been thrown around, so I want to see him get something. There's so many. The only thing is when you look at this draft, though, this is a big, huge, like, D-line draft. And, like, do you just, you know, you have 9 picks. What do? Do you just focus on getting that in a draft, or you figure out they're going to make a splash? But I would not be upset with Jackson at all if he became a Bear. I think that would be awesome to add him to that that D line. But also too, I think you got to start looking at some, what, the linebacker position is so huge. You need another guy to be able to rush off that other side with Pernell McPhee. Hopefully he can play a whole 16 games, but hopefully after that he can also be, because when he was in the games last year, he was super productive. What do you do on the inside as well, which is huge? The inside is huge. You don't know what Shea McClellan and Vic Fangio can give you, a guy that can take somebody who might not be so good. And I've seen a couple of names. It's a dude from the Jets, DeMario Davis, is that his name?
Yep.
Inside linebacker.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's pretty good in coverage too. They could use that.
Yeah. And so I've just seen names like that who aren't the top of the top. You know, Danny Trevathan, we all know, is that top guy, top option. But if you get not the top option, you can go down a little bit. I think when you have a coach like Vic Fangio, guys buy in to what he can do, and he's made people so much better. That's why you cannot just kind of sacrifice coaching. When you have great coaching like that, he can take guys and take them to the next level. So, something to see there. There's so many holes on that defense. I don't know where you start. I'm just glad I'm not the guy with the checkbook having to sign over these checks. Because
not yet. You're not. You never know.
Not yet.
One of these days, George might call you up, call you in to help.
I don't know about that.
All right. Well, this Jarrett Payton, CLTV Sports Feed. Make sure you're watching it every weeknight. Make sure you're following him on Twitter. Make sure you're getting his Sweetness beer and keeping up with the great things they do over at the Payton Foundation. JP, it was an honor. It was a pleasure. I appreciate your time as always, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
All right, man. Thank you very much for having me. Talk to you soon.
All right. That was Jared Payton. A lot of fun. Again, that's kind of the new format of this show. We're going to bring folks in that are football reporters or just know Chicago and get different insights on things. And I thought JP was a good start. And he's always been very kind to me, getting me on the show. I tell you guys this. He is – it's not an act with him. He is, like, genuinely one of the nicest people I've been around. He doesn't owe anybody anything. And he knows he's Walter's son. I mean, it's his Twitter handle. It's Peyton's son. But Rick Tallender made a good point when he was on the show. He said, you know, Walter, or everyone thinks about the fact that you're Walter's son. People forget, like, when we talk about Walter, that was your father. And I've talked with Jared before casually about the whole Super Bowl situation when, you know, Jared, when Walter did not get the ball. And he talked about that with Rick Tallender. So I thought that's cool. And for you guys who grew up around Chicago and knew Walter, knew that fame, it's probably pretty cool to see that Jared's turned into this kind of media star, and is pretty entertaining to watch.
Yeah, I was a little starstruck myself just sitting here listening to just his stories.
He's got great stories.
And thinking about his connection, you know, to Walter Payton. So, and what a great interview. That was a lot of fun to just sit and spend 30 minutes talking with him, and it was a lot of fun.
He probably could have gone for longer, but he's got a show to prepare for. So,
and it really is great how he has sort of embraced his heritage, because you can find any number of dozens of stories of kids running away from that and not wanting to be a part of that or feeling overshadowed by it. And he just has fully embraced it and carries on what was a very classy legacy.
And I always joke with him, you walk up to him, you think he could go play. You think he can jump out there on the turf and go play tomorrow. He's in that good of shape, and he keeps up. And I was really interested in his answer about covering guys he knew. I mean, he played with DJ Williams in Miami. You guys remember the former Bears linebacker. He knows Antoine Roll well. Obviously, Mark Trestman and him still have a good relationship. I mean, every one of the Bears welcomes him. He's a member of the family, of course. But to be in the spot he's in, and more so that 2014 year, I had a lot of respect for the way that he handled that. He didn't shy away. So often you see former athletes that just will not be critical. And Jared went out there, and I respected that. So that was a lot of fun. Make sure, again, you follow him on Twitter, at Peyton's son. And that we're going to start wrapping up the show here. Again, we got free agency March 9th. All right, I'll put you both on the spot as we wrap up. Who's one guy, you can only pick one, that you want the Bears to re-sign? John Solly.
Want to re-sign or just take out of the free agent pool?
Fine, we'll do both.
Malik Jackson is my guy.
Malik Jackson's your guy. Who do you want the Bears to re-sign?
You know, I think Heath Miller. Zach Miller. Yeah.
Trying to take retired Steelers.
Yeah, just take Heath Miller, too. Just get any tight end named Miller.
You just want the Soldier Field to go, Heath. Damn, man, who's one guy you want to re-sign?
You know, I wouldn't mind them re-signing Mariani.
I knew you guys were going to take their friends of the podcast. Yeah. I don't blame you. These are good people to have around.
I originally, and not to be too critical of Mariani, but, you know, last season we saw – at least early on in the season, we saw some drop balls, especially as he was returning. But, you know, I felt like he grew throughout the season, and I'd like to see what he could bring now that he's been in the spotlight a little more. I'd like to see what he can bring to this upcoming season.
Yeah, no, I think so, too. I think he was clutch last year. I mean, for a while, every catch he had went for a first down. And he's a friend of the program.
Yeah, absolutely.
As is Zach Miller. And soon, Jay Cutler will be.
Here's hoping.
Do we like the six pack? I'm open to questions we can put in there.
I like it. We need music though.
We do need music.
We'll have music.
I didn't give you a heads up. That was the host's fault here. Because I feel, you know, the one we're gonna have people on the show that aren't from Chicago that are maybe national NFL people, and the one part of the Bears that brings everyone together is Cutler. Instead of, you know, trying to think of Cutler stuff, we could just have the Cutler six pack and just get through it, move on. Then we can talk about other things. But we got to talk about Jay. We got to talk about his hair. So, John, I know you want me to have a Kristen question on there.
Obviously. It's the one thing we're missing in the six-pack.
We could find a way to We'll work on that. That's we'll your, get home, there. That's we'll your get there. Homework for the week. So, all right, folks, that does it for us here at the Chicago Football Podcast, the new version of the podcast. By the way, Pro Football Weekly's back. Go get our draft magazine. Go check out the website, profootballweekly.com. They got a podcast. I was on it, Arthur Arkish and Hub Arkish. They'll be on this show, too. Don't worry, they're not going anywhere. But this is it. So a big thank you, of course, to Jarrett Payton for being my guest on today's show, to executive producer Dan Mott, associate producer John Solly. We'll be back hopefully next week, talk about Bears free agency. We'll have probably some new Bears players to talk about, and hopefully a new great guest for you. But until then, go ahead and go to chicagofootball.com for all your Bears needs. Have a great weekend.